I think now we could say really we're in truth of Mamash new sugya. This is, we've been learning chalipa for the last couple of weeks. Now we're moving into a totally different sugya. And the truth is that the first of the new sugyas we're going to learn has nothing to do with kedushin proper. It ends up in Masechet Kedushin, but it's not really a kedushin topic. The reason why I got into Masechet Kedushin is because the Gemara was raised the question, Kesef Menolan. How do you know Kedusha Kesef? We've been spending the last 3 months talking about some of the details of what is Kesef, what's not Kesef, but now the Gemara asks the basic question, where does it come from, Kesef at all? How do you know that there's a din of Kedusha Kesef altogether? And the yeshiva's a joke always is that Kesef at all, that's the first question you have to ask in any sugya, where's the money going to come from? You want to run the yeshiva. But back to the sugya, Kesef Menala. So the Gemara had a suggestion, that maybe it's based on a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, V'yotza chinam ein Kesef. The Torah is speaking about a little girl who was sold by her father as an Amma Ivriya. And the Torah says that it reaches a point where she's going to go free. V'yotza chinam ein kasef. And when she goes free, nobody gets reimbursed. So the Gemara says, the Torah Shemapeh explains to us, that phrase, v'yotza chinam ein kasef, the second half of that pasuk is really superfluous. V'yotza chinam, she goes free. Chinam means, by definition, without any money. What does ein kasef mean? Ein Kesef is written as a drasha. Ein Kesef is coming to teach me that Ein Kesef li'adon zeh, of a yesh kesef li'adon achir. Namely, when a little girl leaves her father, leaves the master, then the master thinks he's going to get anything out of it, forget it. Ein Kesef v'yotza chinam, she goes free, nobody's going to pay him back, that's it, she goes free. Ein Kesef is coming to teach me that the adon doesn't get any money, but there's another similar type of quote-unquote master, another rishus, another person who's in authority over this little girl. If and when she leaves his rishos, then there will be kesef. And who is the other authority? Who's the other possible person? Must be her father. And what do you mean she leaves her father's rishos? She gets married. So the Torah Shemapeh explains to us that if you look really, really carefully, deeply into this pasuk, so you'll see the notion of kedusha kesef. This is one of the makaris for kesef. We're all familiar with the other makar, kicha kicha mistei ephron. That's the more popular of the two sources. And the Gemara actually later on explains why you really need both. But what's added by both of these makaras. But at this point, the Gemara is going to take the test, this drasha, on Avdalam and Aleph Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara asks, V'hai v'yotza chinam l'hoch yudiyasa. That's what the phrase v'yotza chinam and kasef is coming to teach me. Hamavai l'hoch yudiyasa. We already have something else that the Torah Shabbat teaches us is derived from v'yotza chinam and kasef, tesanya. V'yotza chinam eliyame bagros and kasef eliyame narus. V'yotza chinam and kasef is coming to teach us the two additional ways that a little girl goes free. And when a girl sold as an Amma Ivriya, many things can happen down the line. One thing that could happen, probably the best outcome, is that she's actually married by the Yadon. That's what we would like to happen. The goal of Amma Ivriya is not just Nebuch to take advantage of the little girl. The father's stuck. He has babish no money. He can't support his daughter. So the Torah gives us a system to try to get her into a family, try to get her be able to be ultimately married into the Yadon's family. The Torah says, if the Adon's young enough to marry her, he should marry her. If he's not young enough, he's not going to marry her. If he maybe he has a son, wants to marry her. So it's a wire connects event over here. We're trying to get this Amma Ivriya in to be able to get some Shidduchim going. So we try to get the Adon. The Adon can't do it, then the son does it. If neither of them want to do it, so then we try to encourage the father to redeem the girl. We don't want this little girl to be working in somebody else's home. It's not a good setup. Amma Ivriya is not a lechet chil. It's a shasar chag gadol. It's not something that the Torah wants. It's a reality. So the Torah says that let's try to get her married to the son. Let's try to get her redeemed. And if all else fails, v'yotza chinam ein kasef. She goes free. She goes free when? The Torah doesn't say when. So,
what does it mean, redeemed? By her father?
Yeah, that the father should be able, if the father put together some money to redeem, to buy her back, that would be another good option.
But she's going to go free then? Before.
So she's only 8 years old. Instead of her staying another 4 years. If Yovel comes, she goes free anyway. If 6 years pass, she goes free anyway. So she's not going to be around for too long as an Amma. So the Torah says, V'yotza chinam ein kasef. When is this going to take place? When is this going to transpire that she goes free with no money? So the Torah Shemapeh fills in and tells us, V'yotza chinam eli mei bagrus. This refers to when she turns 12 and a half. If she turns 12 and a half, then it's over. And ein kasef eli mei narus. This refers to when she turns 12. When she turns 12, it's all over. Now, the question is obvious. If she already left when she's 12, what in the world is the significance of telling me she goes free at 12 and a half? You have to stay tuned. That's another thing coming up, hopefully, down the line. But at least at this point, there are two distinct halachas that are learned from this dual phrase in the Chumash. One is to teach me that Narus is a motzi lecheiros, that Narus frees her, and the other is to teach me that Bagrus frees her. So if we already use the phrase v'yotzo chinam and kasef to teach us those two halachas, so how can you turn around and tell me that ein kasef teaches me the notion of kasef kedushin? There's a basic klal in drushas. You can't use the same word to dash in two things. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. You can use the same word to dash in two things if there's something superfluous within the word itself. What in the world is superfluous within the word? Amar Ravina, im kein lemakra ein kasef. My ein kasef with a yud, ein kasef ladan zev, yesh kasef ladan achas. So again, my knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh, of Tanakh Lashon HaKodesh, is not, needless to say, is nowhere near the degree of Chazal. And therefore Chazal tell us that in theory the word ein could have been written without a yud. The extra letter yud is a drasha. It's a drasha to teach me two things. So number one, it teaches me that Eliyahu made Bagras and Iris, etc., what the Brisa taught us. And in addition to that, it's also teaching us the halacha that ein kesef zeh aval yesh kesef lo denachir. So the Gemara says aval yesh kesef. I'm sorry, my ein kesef. What's the meaning of the extra yud? Ein kesef lo denzeh aval yesh kesef lo denachir. My ninu av. So now the Gemara questions this style of drasha. The Gemara says what? Okay, you don't feel that you're not the only ones who are surprised by this kind of a drasha. Said, what authority do we have? From where do we find such an idea that this is a valid method of drush? That the extra yud, that's how you spell the word A. There's an extra yud in there. What's the significance of this drasha? So Gemara says, don't worry, no, don't be concerned. We already have preset in Tanoim for such a drasha. This Anya. We learned in the following brisa. So now the Gemara is going to quote a brisa, which is going to become the source of our sugya for today. But the way we got here was because it's a similar style to Russia, with a yud, without a yud, etc. So what is this brisa? That's the sanya v'zera ein lo. So this is a brisa commenting on a pasuk in Parshas Emor. The Torah says that if you have a kohen has a daughter, so that daughter can eat truma. Anyone who's remember, you lid beis ayiluch melachmo. The daughters of a kohen are permitted to eat truma, even though they're not technically kohanim in the real sense of the word, but they're still part of the family, still part of the bias of the father of the kohen, so they can eat truma. But if they marry an irzar, uvasko en kisiel irzar, if she marries an outsider, namely she marries a non-kohen, she marries a yisrael or a levi, then he besruba sekadoshim lo sochel, then she can no longer eat the truma. What if chisiya amana ugrusha? What if the husband either dies or the husband divorces her? So now she goes back to being, in a sense, part of her father's family. Can she eat truma or not? So the Torah says it depends. V'chivasko ein kisiya amana ugrusha v'zera ein lo. If she doesn't have any child from the Yisrael, then and only then, then she goes back, she reverts back to the status of a bas kohen to be able to eat truma. So the Torah is very clear in Parsha Zemor that the factor that determines whether she can go back to the father's home is, did she have a child from the Yisrael? So it's on that phrase, v'zera ein lo, those three words in the Chumash that the Tosha Pen now explains, what if she doesn't have a child from the Israel, but she has a grandchild from the Israel? Namely, obviously she had a child, but Nebuch the child died. So the child is no longer alive, so in theory she can go back to the father, because that's Vizera Eimla. She doesn't have a child. Vizera Eimla doesn't mean she didn't have a child. Vizera Eimla means she doesn't have a child. So if right now she doesn't have a child, she reverts back to the father's home. But what if that child, who's no longer alive, left the child? So she has a grandchild who's yichus, dates back to the Israel. So the Tosha Pes says, "Ein li elazara zera zara minayin tamen lomar zera ein la." So that teaches us now that even if she has a grandchild, that's also included. And what does the drasha zera ein la mean? Ayin la. It means, it's almost a play on the word. Ein means not. Ayin means ayin, like to look. To look and see, inspect and see, is there any child, is there anybody here who could be potentially a descendant of this Yisrael who can disqualify her from eating truma? And then the Gemara continues, V'ein li'ela zera kosher, zera posel minayin. I know that if she has a child from the Yisrael who's kosher, who's a regular normal Jew, what if Nebuch is a zera posel minayin? What if the only child that she has from this Yisrael is a mamzer? And Tosfos is going to figure out how we how that case played out, but not for now. It's a little bit later in the sugya. So here you have a bas Yisrael. If they keep our family charts over here, you have a bas kohen who's married to a Yisrael, and her offspring that she has from this Yisrael, a great yichus from this Yisrael. Nebuch, she has a mamzer from this Yisrael. So how do you know that even a zera posel disqualifies her to eat from truma? So tamal omer zera ein la, ein la. Again, the same drasha. So we use the same word, ein la, to teach us two things. To teach us ayin la. And ayin la is used to teach us two different halachas. It's used to teach us grandchild, and it's used to teach us a zera posel. So ask the Gemara of ha'afik de la zera zar. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? How can you use it to teach us both? It was quote-unquote bad enough that we used the yud to teach us one thing. You know, that was a habitzah, half a problem. Now you're using the same yud to teach me two things, to teach me grandchildren and mamzerim. That can't be. The Gemara says, no, don't worry. Zera zar lewitz tichkra, to bnei ban maram kibanim. You don't need a pasuk to teach me grandchildren, because everybody knows grandchildren are like children. Bnei banim, haram kibanim. Ki yitz tichkra lezer apostol. The only need for the yud was to tell me the mamzer case. So I can't divrei gemara for our purposes. So what did we extract from our gemara? That when it comes to drushas, when it comes to halachas that apply to children, do they automatically apply to grandchildren or not? So the answer is yes, because bnei banim haram kibanim. The gemara just said that if the Torah would have just told us that you can't eat truma because of a child, I would have known right away grandchildren are the same. Grandchild, the child's all the same thing. Up here, Allah, it's all considered to be my children, my descendants, because of that principle called Bnei Banim Haram Kibanim. Now again, true in this particular context, it's not the cheeriest context. Nebuch the child died and the grandchild's left and going back to Truma and the Mamzeiras, not the prettiest picture that we're painting over here. But in terms of the basic halakhic principle, we can extract from this sugya is Bnei Banim Haram Kibanim. So come to Rishonim and point out that this principle doesn't seem to always be true, because we take a look at the second of the Marmakomos. There's a Gemara Maseches Bava Basra. Again, unfortunately, many of these sugyas are not the cheeriest sugyas, but we have to learn them anyway. The Torah speaks about the Parsha of Yerusha and Parsha's Pinchas. The Torah says a person passes away, so the first Yorish is going to be his son. So the first person to yarshin him, first person to inherit is going to be the son. So the Gemara comments, Tadar Abanan, Bein, Ein Liela Bein. So I know that a son is a yorish of the father, as it says explicitly in the Chumash. What about Bein HaBein? What about a grandchild? What if, let's say Avram dies, and Yitzchak, his son, is no longer alive, but Yaakov is alive. Yaakov's a grandchild. So how do you know? Maybe Yaakov doesn't get the Yerusha. How do you know that a grandchild steps up to the plate in place of the middle generation? So Bein HaBein. Or what about Obas HaBein? What if Avram dies, he left his son Yitzchak, Yitzchak had a child, Rachel, and Yitzchak dies. So now the granddaughter wants to come and be Yoresh. What's the din? Obas Abas. Obas. Obein Bas Abein Minayin. How do you know great-grandchildren are Yoresh? How do you know the din of Yerusha apply outside of the realm of just father to son? Tamad Lomar, Ein Lo Ayin Alav. We need a drasha, an aleph, with a yud. The yud is a drasha. Look for a child. Look for a descendant. Look for any offspring. Is considered to be a Yoresh as well. So now the sugya is about to begin. Because now we have a steer between two gemaras. So I want to know, what's the starting point? What's my baseline halacha? If I tell you that a certain halacha applies to children, is your immediate reaction, oh, grandchildren are like the kids also, so it's all the same thing? Or is your immediate reaction, is not so fast, prove to me. If you have a pasuk that includes grandchildren, then great. And if there's no such pasuk, then not so great. So what is your starting point? What's your take on when there are many, many halachas in the Torah about eating truma and about Yerusha and half a dozen other halachas? When the Torah speaks about parents and children, is the starting point grandchildren the same, or is the starting point grandchildren not the same? Do you need a pasuk to include grandchildren, or can you just comfortably say bnei ban maram kibanim? So now we're getting different indications from different mamar chazal. So the first sugya, the Gemara says, oh, come on, bnei ban maram kibanim. If the Torah says that a child prevents the mother from eating truma, so for sure the grandchild also. It's all the same thing. I don't need a pasuk for it. I can figure it out on my own. There's a halachic principle called bnei ban maram kibanim. Whereas in the second of the Gemara comes, the Gemara is not so sure it's true. The Gemara needed a pasuk and a drasha. If not for the pasuk, we wouldn't have automatically said bnei ban maram kibanim. So what's the answer? What's the answer to the contradiction? for what are the grandchildren the same as children, and for what the grandchildren not the same as children. Now, those who are ready to be grandparents know the grandchildren have a lot of the qualities of having children, and they have some of the, they're lacking some of the disadvantages. Namely, when you're done, you can send them home to somebody else. So that's what the grandparents supposedly say. They have all the nachas of children without any of the discipline of children. So we want to know in the halachic world, what's the status of the grandchildren? Are the grandchildren mamish the same as children for all halachic purposes, or case by case? If there's a pasuk here, there's no pasuk, no. So comes Tosfos and attempts to solve this riddle in the third of the Ramakamas. So Tosfos says, why do we need a pasuk to tell me that grandchildren are like children for Yerusha? Why don't we just derive it from the pre-existing principle called Bnei Banaram Kibonim? Kidyoma Perek Almana, the Zera Zara Lo Tzorech Kura, which happens to be the same as Agamar. Agamar Kedushin is quoted the Gemara in Yevamos. The Bnei Banaram Kibonim, that the baseline, the starting point is, even without Psukim, grandchildren are like children. So it comes to us and says it all boils down to the words in the Chumash. V'yesh Leibah. The Hosab D'chsiv V'zera Eila, V'zera Mashra B'nei Banim. That there's a difference whether the Torah uses the word Zera or the Torah uses the word Banim. If and when the Torah uses the word Zera, so Zera has the connotation more for almost of an offspring. Zera doesn't mean literally your physical child right now, the next generation. Zera means Lazaracha Tenis Artzazel. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, Lazaracha Tenis Artzazel. He didn't just mean to Yitzcha. We're also Zera of Avram. We're the descendants, the offspring. Hundreds of generations later, we're still the Zera of Avraham Avinu. So the word Zera has the connotation of Bnei Banim Rem Kibonim, and you don't need a pasuk to include it. But if the Torah uses the word Bain, Bain means very specifically, Bain means a son. Doesn't mean a grandson. Doesn't mean a great-great-grandson. It means a son. If the Torah wants to include subsequent generations, it has to tell you that explicitly. So says Tosfos, that's where Yerusha and Truma part ways. Yerusha is written Beloshen Bain, so I wouldn't have included a grandchild. In the end of the day, grandchildren are included, but that's because the pasuk says so. But if not for the pasuk, grandchildren would not have been equal to children. In the area of Truma, where the Torah uses a different term, uses the word Zera, that's a whole different ballgame. Says tells us, I'm going to prove to you that we're right, that this distinction, this nuance of distinction, depends upon what word the Torah uses. From another interesting area of halacha, obviously not Lamaisa area of halacha, but still, call it Tarkula, have to figure out. So Tosa says, Kidamash Prabhupada Dalamisis, the end of the third of the Maramakamos, second line from the bottom, as it appears from the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Gabi Mavir Bino Uvito Ba'esh. There's an history in the Torah of Molech. You're not allowed to hand over your children to the Avodah Zarah, to the fire worship of Molech. And if you do that, it's a skila. So the Torah says, it uses the phrase b'no b'to. So the Ka'amar ain the ala b'no b'to, ben b'no, ben b'to minayin. So I know that the handing over to Molech is an issa misa, but it's a skila, but it's a kar, it's the worst of a terrible avera. But the Torah says, mavir b'no uvito b'esh. It doesn't say a grandchild. So how do you know that the issa of Molech is equally true for grandchildren? Tabalama umizaracha lositi lavi l'molech. Because in Pashas Achrei Mos, the Torah speaks about Molech and uses the word zera. So here the Gemara is explicit. The Gemara is saying to us, the Brice is spelling out to us, that if the Torah would have only presented the issue of Molech using the Lashon Banav Banos, so I wouldn't have included grandchildren. Kamash Balon, what's the magic word that includes grandchildren? Ah, the word Zera. That's the word that carries the day. The Milashon Zera, Mashba B'nei Banim. So when all the dust settles, Tosfos seems to have all the dinim in sync now, that if you want to know what's the answer, when it says Banim, does Banim mean Dafka Banim? What does Banim mean B'nei Banim also? So the answer is, the word Banim itself, Dafka, children, till we know to the contrary, Zera is all-encompassing. So this distinction of Tosfos, we can now bring it down to a little bit, I guess we call it a little bit cheerier area of halacha. We're not going to talk now about the Nebuch, the Bas Kohen, whose husband died, and we'll leave out the Yerusha, and we'll leave out the handing over the kids to the Molech. We'll talk about something more, hopefully more relevant, Lamaisa. In the fourth of the Ramakamas, in Kedushin Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, we spoke a little bit about this last year, at the end of the year, we did some of the first Brech of Kedushin Sugis Daf Chavtez. The Gemara is discussing the obligation of Vishinat Levanecha, Vimadatam Osamas Benechem, there's a mitzvah for a father to teach a child Torah. So the Gemara is raising the question, is that mitzvah applied to a grandfather also? For Avi Aviv Bimechayev, so at first the Gemara quoted a braisa that says, Gemara quoted a statement that says that a grandfather is chayev to teach a child Torah. It's part of the mitzvah, Vimadatam Osamas Benechem, includes grandparents. So he asks the Gemara, really? Is that true? The Torah says banim. The Torah doesn't say grandchildren. So according to the Braisa, there's no mitzvah for the grandfather to teach the grandchild Torah. So the Braisa asks at himself, umani mekayem veldatam vanech levnei vanech. That is another pasuk that says that you should transmit the Mesorah to your children and to your grandchildren. So the Tan of this Brice responds by saying, that Pasuk doesn't mean there's a chiyuv to teach Torah. What that Pasuk means is, lom lecha, shekol ha-malam, it is b'no Torah. That Pasuk refers to, if you teach your son Torah, like you're supposed to, ma'ala, alav ha-kosov, kilu limda lo levno levem b'no atzov kodairis. It's a bracha by saying, if you teach your son Torah, you should just know that you're gonna reap the benefits, you're gonna reap the payments for generations to come. It's as if you taught him and your grandchild and for thousands of generations. So the pasuk v'odat l'venech l'venech, according to this Tan, is not a halachic context. It's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is l'imadatam asamas b'neichem. The chiyuv to teach Torah is to a child. That's it. To a son, nobody else. The fact that the Torah also speaks about Levonecha, that's a lashon of a bracha, of a haftacha, but it's not a lashon obligation. So the Gemara says that Tana is, they're entitled to his opinion, but there's another Tana. Who do yomaki hai Tana? There's another Tana out there, the Sanya. According to the second Tana, how do you know that there's a chiyuv to teach your grandchildren? Not just a nice thing to do, but there's a chiyuv gomer of Talmud Torah to teach grandchildren. Talmud Loma, Vodach Levonecha, Levonecha. That this Tana, the second Tana, saw in the phrase "Ldatul v'nech levenech" not a haftach, not a bracha, but an absolute chiyuv. So when all the dust settles, it comes out that there's only a machlekes of Tanoim about the mitzvah derais of teaching Torah. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah derais, there's a chiyuv derais to teach your son Torah. Can't argue with that. B'shidatul v'nechem, matam b'nechem. That's explicit. The machlekes of Tanoim is, does that chiyuv spill over to a grandchild? What do I say? No, it's a nice thing to do. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing to do. But in terms of a chiyuv, it's not a chiyuv. We'll talk a little bit tomorrow about what some of the ramifications of there being a chiyuv are. It may become a very expensive chiyuv. It may become where the tuition invoice is going to be sent to, depending on this gemara, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But I want to get back to that story. It's clear from this gemara that Tosfos is right. Those who are ready, zechut have grandchildren, may not want to come back to the shiur tomorrow. You may become an expensive shiur. But it's clear from this gemara that Tosfos is right. Because what was Tosfos' whole theory in Bava Basra? That depending on the word that the Torah uses, we will either automatically include grandchildren, or we'll automatically exclude grandchildren. If the magic word is zera, then grandchildren are automatically included. Zera means all generations. If the magic word is ben, then grandchildren are excluded until proven otherwise. Sometimes they are proven otherwise, sometimes not. So comes the Gemara in Kiddushin and supports this idea of Tosfos, because the Gemara is talking about a mitzvah that the Torah does not say, v'limadatem osam l'zarachem acharechem. The Torah says, v'limadatem osam as b'neichem. The Torah uses the word ben, the Torah uses the word banim, v'shinat levanecha k'siv. So the starting point is a grandchild a ben or not? And the answer is no. That according to one Tana, not only is the starting point that a grandchild is not your ben, the concluding point is that your grandchild is not your ben. And the only reason why the other Tana disagreed is because of a quirk, because of an additional pasuk, v'ldat levanech levanecha, because the other Tana interpreted the second pasuk lashon chiyuv, not for lashon bracha like the first Tana. Therefore, we can include a grandchildren as part of the chiyuv. But if not for the added pasuk, there's no question that the baseline, that the starting point of both Tanoim, both prices was, yes, your child, yes, your grandchild, no. There never was a chiyuv to teach a grandchild Torah, unless there's a special person that teaches us that. So So this is a tremendous support. There's a clear support for Tosfos that the word ben doesn't mean anything more than a one generation. That's all the word ben. Zera is a different connotation, but the word ben means exactly what it sounds like. So tomorrow we have to analyze this Gemara a little bit more and see what some of the ramifications are. So again, so we started with the sugya that's not lemaisa at all for us. We started talking about the words of Zera and Zerazar and Banim vis-a-vis Achilas Truma. Then we got into Yerusha. Then we got into the Yisra of Molech of all places. And now we're getting a little bit closer to home in terms of the mitzvah of teaching Torah. Hopefully tomorrow we'll see where the next step goes, just to define properly what the word Ben is, what the word Zera means, what the ramifications are lemaisa when we deal with grandchildren on the same level or different levels than children. Okay, so tomorrow.